You're listening to The Point. Until recently, if you wanted to attend the opera, you had to make the journey to Boston or New York. That changed last year with the debut of Opera Theatre of Cape Cod. Joining us to discuss the new Chamber Opera Company are two of its founding directors, Eileen Christensen and Ethan Dupuy. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So congratulations on your first season.
Right?
So what performances did you offer and how were they received?
We started with the Peter Brook's adaptation of Bizet's Carmen, called The Tragedy of Carmen. We had two performances in Wellfleet and at the Catuit Center for the Arts, and they were very well received, sold out performances to our delight and surprise last year. So we know now that there is a want and a demand for opera on the Cape.
Yeah, I'd say a hunger, right?
Yeah.
So when you were here last, you talked about the importance of making opera accessible to a wider and younger audience. What do you think typically keeps younger people away from opera?
I think it's the perception of elitism in the art form, and that it's meant for an older generation, and that it's not easy to understand, that the music might be stuffy. And the ways that we've been looking to refresh the art form are, one, we're singing in the vernacular of the audience, so they're hearing it in English. We're using the English National Opera Translation this year. And we also try to tell the story in a modern paradigm. So we're using Puccini's music, but we're telling the story as if it's happening today.
Is that a challenge? I would think, you know, first of all, translation, matching the music, and then modernizing the story.
At the beginning, it seems like a challenge, but actually Puccini's themes of love and lust and of people being poor and living are timeless. Mm-hmm. So it tends to fit into a lot of different settings. You'll see these Shakespeare adaptions of Macbeth and Hamlet that are modernized, and there's maybe a little bit more of a divide because of the language. But I actually find it kind of easy to relate to these themes that still exist today.
Yeah. So what was some of the feedback you got from audiences about your first productions, particularly from real opera buffs who may have been surprised by changes to their favorites?
I think happy to see opera back on the Cape after a five-year gap. There was an opera company here for many years that shut down called Cape Cod Opera. And just excited, mostly. I mean, you know, of course, you're going to find the traditionalists who need their opera to be in the original language and need to see a great period production with costumes and big sets. But that's not exactly what we do. And I think that they can appreciate the intimacy in the modern setting and the in-your-face aspect of what we do at Opera Theatre of Cape Cod.
Also, the level of talent. I think that they were very, very impressed by the singers that we brought in from all around the New England region. What I loved was that there were people who were like, there's opera. I don't know if I want to go, or you know, folks who are art aficionados. And they were like, you changed my mind. Mm, yeah. You changed our minds.
I was going to say, an opera is kind of known for the elaborate costumes and sets, right? So did you have people coming in with expectations that that's what they were going to see?
Strangely, I don't think so. Once they knew the spaces that we're going to be performing in, and once they got there and they saw that, okay, this is something a little bit different, they make that adjustment in the space. Of course, you're going to have a few people who might not be exactly pleased, but once they... You never have that opportunity to have an opera singer singing right in front of you. How many people get that?
Yeah.
You know, if you've ever worked in opera and had a birthday during a production, getting the whole cast to sing you happy birthday is one of the most exciting things in the world. And taking away that divide that might exist in a symphony hall or in a big opera house like the Met is something really special. So I think they appreciate it.
I last year too, Ethan started things off with a bang by playing Motown music, and he had our Zuniga was sitting there with a cell phone taking selfies and everything. So it was definitely from the get go, this is not your father's Oldsmobile.
Yeah.
All right, your next production, La Bohème, a classic opera by Puccini, for those uninitiated in opera, give us a short biography of the storyline.
The story is really the timeless love story of Rodolfo and Mimi that you may remember from the more recent musical Rent. They reuse this story for Rent. You know, two poor people fall in love, an artist and a seamstress, and they quite quickly fall in love, and then their relationship falls apart. She's sick, and I don't want to give away the ending, but she does, you know, die at the end. So in this span of, for our production, what is going to be less than 2 hours, you see this relationship build from the ground up and then become completely destroyed by disease.
So what makes La Boheme relevant today to a younger audience?
Well, I think that people can identify with the struggle of these sort of archetypal artists. You've got a poet, you've got a singer, you've got a painter, a philosopher, a seamstress, but taking those stories into the present, you understand that life can be very rich, even though your resources might be more scarce. You have friendship, mm-hmm. you have love, you have these stories that you want to tell as an artist. And I think that's very compelling.
We have a cut from La Boheme. This is an aria performed by Anna Maffo. Where is the piece performed in the story, and what can you tell us about Anna?
So Anna is like one of the most famous sopranos. These clips are iconic performances of these pieces. Quando Men Vo happens in the second act of the opera, and Musetta is strutting her stuff. She wants to make Marcello, an artist, very, very jealous. She comes in on the arm of Alcindoro, and then she starts saying, when everybody sees me on the street, I'm hot stuff.
So when you look at a classic opera such as La Boheme, how do you decide what sacrosanct and cannot change and where you can modernize?
I almost think that you can modernize everything, you know, with the exception of there are certain aspects of the storyline which have to stay in place. They have to be artists. They have to be poor. She has to be a seamstress who is dying, right? Mm-hmm. But that can really exist in any idiom, be it modern or the period that they were living in before. So I put them in modern clothing. I put them in modern situations. They might have a different hobby or a different job than they would have were this performed in the late 1800s to make it more familiar. But the structure that Puccini writes for La Boheme is it's very secure. So we don't actually have to change much, and you certainly don't have to change any of his music, and you don't have to change much of the libretto at all.
I think our music director is very sensitive to the traditions in the opera and has an eye towards quality and pacing, and certainly the singers that we have coming on board to sing the show. We're going to honor that music, and you're going to hear virtuoso performances from everybody involved.
How do you recruit performers, and do they have input in how to modernize or modify works?
It helps actually that the three of us have all worked in opera in different ways. Eileen and I are both singers by trade, and Joe Terbesi, our music director, is a pianist. So we have connections with singers that are deeply rooted that we've developed over years. And we kind of try to have our fingers on the pulse at all times to see these up-and-coming young singers. They have some creative control in some ways. I'm certainly open to them having input as to if something feels unsacred, you know, as we're modernizing, or if something feels super weird. But most of the time, what I've noticed is they're very open to small fun changes.
I would say even excited, right?
Certainly excited about ways that we can bring this to an audience that relate to them as performers, so that we break down that barrier for them as performers and then as the audience watching and listening.
All right, so we have another cut from La Boheme. This is Mirella Frini, did I say that right, singing?
Yes.
So tell us the name of the aria and what's happening in the story where this is performed.
This is in the first act of La Boheme, and it is Si mi chiamano Mimi. This is right after Mimi and Rodolfo have met. And if you know Rent at all, she comes downstairs, the electricity has gone off, and her candle is blown out, and she needs a light of her candle, and who knows if it really went out on its own, but she comes in and they meet for the first time, and instantly fall in love. So she's telling her story about who she is and the simplicity of her life and getting to know you.
Do you recommend people familiarize themselves with the story and characters before attending an opera performance, or is it better to let the drama unfold and be surprised?
I think that there is benefit to looking it up, especially with the history involved. You know, the show happens in the late 1800s, or it was originally produced in late 1800s, and you have some of the greatest figures in musical history. You have Toscanini, was the first conductor when the show was premiered. You have Puccini, which is one of the most famous composers. This is one of the most performed operas in the world, and the people who helped bring it to life. I think you could show up because of the English, because of the modern take on it, and experience it like a movie. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be very clear what's happening and what the relationships are. But sometimes you get that extra layer of understanding and the history of it.
Opera is dramatic and often tragic. For people who haven't seen a lot of opera, they might be surprised that there can also be humor, right? So can you give us an example?
Oh, so much humor in La Boheme. I mean, the whole thing begins with these two poor artists hanging out at their apartment, and then their poor friends, a philosopher and a musician, come in, and they're just hanging out and having fun and drinking. They can't pay the rent. The landlord comes in. They trick the landlord so they don't have to pay the rent to the landlord. He's out of there. They trick him into saying something dirty. He's gone. They don't have to pay the rent for another day. And then they go out and they have fun at Café Momus, and they go and have a great time until Musetta shows up and tries to make Marcello kind of feel bad by parading around town with her new lover. Mm. But there's a lot of humor that happens, and that's completely essential for the contrast of all the love and the death mm. that occurs later in the show. Yeah.
Are you seeing a trend of modernizing opera to make it more accessible? And if so, does it seem to be working to expand opera's appeal?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a number of things that people or opera companies are doing to try and engage new audiences. One might be modernization. Another is bringing opera to the movie theaters. We have HD at the Met, so people can experience that New York experience anywhere in the country. Mm. And some people really adhere to the pure art form. But, you know, with small companies that have smaller budgets, we have to distill it down to its purest form. We can't rely on costumes and elephants and giant choruses.
And yeah,
exactly. We have to tell the story, and really the music carries it. Yeah.
In my opinion, if you're going to do a period production, with you better have the most amazing costumes you can get. People are going to be looking for that detail. You better mm-hmm. you better know your history. That stuff's got to really be on point. So for me, as a modern person and a modern singer and actor and stage director, it's really helpful to work in that idiom, and then I find I can connect with people through that.
As you plan for future performances to appeal to a diverse audience, what are some of the elements that you're looking for?
I think that we want to pull in, as we're looking at music and opportunities down the road, to bring in families to try and hit different generations, and maybe try things out at different times of year to either connect with the holidays or just to be present in the Cape community beyond the summer season, and then programming the classics so that people are really getting an education about the best of the best of. We want to program gems, mm. And those names alone definitely bring people into the theater.
For people who've never been to the opera or are hesitant to go, give us some reasons why we should give opera a try.
You're going to see, first of all, you're going to hear the most beautiful music you've heard recently. It's Puccini made very few mistakes in La Boheme. They say Bach made no mistakes when he wrote his music. Puccini really wrote the perfect opera. We take away all of the barriers for you. It's going to be sort of like watching your favorite TV show, in essence, or watching a movie, something that you can enjoy without a language barrier, because the production will be in English. There'll be modern costumes, and these themes speak so strongly to things that are still happening today, you know, in everyone's lives. So it's going to be hopefully a cinematic experience that everyone can enjoy.
Okay. Opera Theater of Cape Cod will perform La Boheme in a preview performance Friday, August 30th at Wellfleet Preservation Hall, and offer main stage performances September 6th and 7th at the Tilden Arts Center at Cape Cod Community College. We'll post a link with more information at our website, capeandislands.org. We're going to go out on another piece from Puccini's La Boheme. This is an aria. Who is this? He'll bring us where we're at.
It's Pavarotti.
Yay!
And he's singing. This is part of that same scene where they're meeting each other and falling in love. And he's taking Mimi's hand into his. It's Kegelida Manina. It's "Your hand is so cold" is the way that the aria starts. And you can just hear his heart is opening up to her.
Founding directors of Opera Theater of Cape Cod, Eileen Christensen and Ethan DuPuy, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
Povertà mia lieta, caro da grazia.